Please stand with me tonight for the reading of the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to John chapter 9. I'm going to read two verses there tonight. John chapter 9, we're going to read verses 4 and 5. We'll read them together this evening. John chapter 9, verses 4 and 5. Say amen when you found that scripture this evening.
Amen.
Amen. John chapter 9, verse 4, read with me, the Bible says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. You may be seated.
The title of tonight's message is Rest and Work. Rest and Work. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, verse 17, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. So Mark and William and Wesley, come on up here, and Anthony and Stephen. And stand right there. Okay. Jesus Christ came down to the world, and he was asking the world to come unto the Father through him, trying to reconcile the world to God the Father through him. And now when Jesus Christ died and went up to heaven, he gave his disciples the word of reconciliation. Now you go and ask the world to be reconciled to the Father. Where are you going? There's the word right there. Got to ask him. Call him. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. Good job. Now we're the ambassadors. We are the ambassadors for Christ, as though God the Father did beseech the world by us. So as God the Father was beseeching the world through Jesus Christ, his ambassador, his only begotten Son, now God the Father is beseeching the world through us for his only begotten Son, through his only begotten Son. But we now are the ambassadors for Christ. We're the ones to go out and we're the one to call. We're the one to reconcile the world unto God. That ministry has been given unto us. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if, how many of you put salt on your food? How many of you put salt on your food before you taste it? Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? You know, if there's no salt that has any savor, what are our plates going to be like? It's a sad day for humanity. If all the salt in the world lost its savor and its flavor. It's also be a sad day for humanity if the Christians of the world lost their saltiness and stopped salting the world with the gospel. What a sad day for the world that would be. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden down under foot of men. Ye are the what? Light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In John chapter 9, Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. Where does he come to live? Inside of us. So the light of the world comes to live where? Inside of us. And now we are the light of the world because we have the light of the world in us. Let me just make a statement tonight that as long as you are in the world, you are now the light of the world on behalf of God. You're the light of the world. Coming to the world on the Father's behalf, in Christ's stead, stepping into the witnessing shoes of Jesus, it is now our job to continue to spread the light of the world, Jesus Christ. Look at Mark chapter 6, verse 7. And he called unto him the 12, Jesus Christ here called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two. And I do think that it's good scripturally to go out two by two. I think you can go out one by one because Philip led the Ethiopian eunuch one on one. But two by two is a good biblical principle to follow. And gave them power over unclean spirits and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey save a staff only. No scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, in what place soever ye enter into an house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you, when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Now skip down to verse number 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. Had they been working for a while here? Okay, they had been on journey. They had traveled. You think they're a little weary, a little tired? And verse 31, he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and what? And rest for how long? Rest for a while. Come rest for a while. Now, why would Jesus going to have them just rest for a while? Because there's more work to be done. But because there's more work to be done, what is it they needed to be able to do more work? Rest. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. So Jesus recognizes that his disciples were physically exhausted, and he took them into a desert place where there weren't any people so that they could rest. They weren't resting because their work was done. They were resting so that they could renew their strength so that they could go out and work some more. Let me just say, rest is spiritual when you're resting from work so that you can do more work. Rest is also spiritual when you're resting to signify that your rest is in Jesus Christ. We'll see that here in a minute. So they're going out to rest, but something happened. Verse 33, Mark 6, and the people saw them departing. And many knew him and ran afoot thither out of all the cities and out went them and came together unto him. Now, if you're going to beat the ship on the sea to the place where it's going by land, you got to be moving a little bit, don't you think? So these people were running, you know, maybe they had their donkeys and I don't know, and they're getting out there and they're waiting on the shore. They're waiting when Jesus Christ and the ship comes in. Verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now what? Far spent. So his disciples were already kind of worn out from their journey, and he took them a place to rest, and now the day is far spent. His disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away. Now, what's one reason you think the disciples might want to send them away? So they get some rest. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat, O tired disciples. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say five and two fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And we know that they fed all those men there. Here, when the disciples thought they were getting some much needed rest, they ended up putting in some overtime. You know, the ministry is like that sometimes. And this happens when you're helping people sometimes. But it is good to rest. So rest for a while so you can work some more. And rest for a while so you can work some more. And rest for a while so you can work some more. It's not healthy to always work and never rest. It's also not healthy to always rest and never work. Right? There needs to be a balance of rest and work, rest and work. And the purpose for rest is so that we can work some more. Work for the night is coming when no man can work. You know, we are the ambassadors for Jesus Christ. The work of the ministry, the work of the gospel is in our hands, and we're supposed to be working, spreading that gospel, spreading that light in every way possible at restaurants, to our neighbors, to our family, in our online presence. Let me just say, anything that you post online that doesn't further the gospel of Jesus Christ hinders it, and you're hindering the very work that you're supposed to be doing. Careful what you post online. But rest is a spiritual thing. The Sabbath was made by God as a symbol of the spiritual rest that was to be found in God through Christ. Look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 1. Matthew 12, 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were an hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. Now, why is this a no-no? It's the Sabbath day. Remember, the children of Israel were supposed to gather their manna for the Sabbath day the day before and store it up, and then the next day they would eat what they had got the day before. So they're beginning to eat here on the Sabbath day. Verse 2, but when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. Now, how many of you think that the Pharisees looked up to King David? How many of you look up to King David? Right? So Jesus uses King David as an example, verse 3. But he said unto them, have you not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this day, in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. God would have mercy and not sacrifice. Verse 8, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. The Son of Man is Lord, he's the boss, he's the king, even over the Sabbath day. Look at Mark chapter 2. Sister passage to this. Verse 23. Give a little bit further explanation. Mark chapter 2, verse 23. And it came to pass that he went through the corn fields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, have you never read what David did when he had need and was an hungered, he and they that were with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat but for the priest, and gave also to them which were with him. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for who? And not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for the man. Man was not made to observe the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made as a symbol to man. Look back with me in Genesis chapter 2, the very first time we see the symbol given. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1. We see the first symbol of rest given to us by God Himself. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he what? Rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Did God need to rest on the seventh day because he was exhausted?
No.
Was he tired?
No.
No, God did not rest because he was tired. He did it as a symbol that true rest is found in him and that he had prepared a rest for those who would trust in him. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." God rested on the seventh day as an example and as a prophecy. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 1. "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." This is a book to the Hebrews. "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into what? As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." You know, when Jesus rested on the seventh day, he was saying, it's finished. Salvation's complete in me. Verse 4, "For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief, again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day?" And Jesus spoke of another day when he would return. When he returns, we all get to have what? Rest. "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." God rested on the seventh day to show us that spiritual rest is only found in him and by him. God commanded them to rest on the Sabbath day. And to do what? Not do what on the Sabbath day? Work. And the purpose of that was to show Israel that they can't work their way to their rest. They can't work their way to heaven. There's nothing they can do in and of themselves to rest in God. God is the one that does the work. They simply have to trust and believe and accept in it. There's a man who was put to death for working on the Sabbath. Look at Numbers 15, 32. Again, God made the Sabbath as an example and a testimony that spiritual rest is only through him and his work of salvation. In Numbers 15, 32, "And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day." Now, what did God told them not to do on the Sabbath day? And what did he say would happen if they did? It's pretty clear, isn't it? "And they found him gathering sticks. And they that found him," verse 33, "gathering sticks, brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation. And they put him in ward, because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died, as the Lord commanded Moses. That sounds a little harsh just for picking up a couple sticks on the Sabbath day. But that's not the point. Why was this such a big deal? A man working on the Sabbath day. He was doing the same thing Cain did. He was doing it his own way. Not relying on God to save him, not resting in God's might, his picking up of sticks was an act of defiance that he would do things his own way and come to God his own way. But we can't work our way to heaven. Amen? By making everyone rest on the Sabbath, God was telling them that they could not work their own way to heaven. And that getting to heaven and to rest did not require any work from them at all. He did the work. Rest was only found through the work that God himself would do and did do for us on the cross. Man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath for the man, as an omen, as a prophecy, as an analogy, that rest, true spiritual rest, is only found in God. And rest is a spiritual thing. A lot of us don't like to rest. Some of us guys, we don't like to sit down. We sit down, we fidget. We got to be doing something. Got to get up and do. The Sabbath would have been hard for some of us. I got to do something. No, you can't, Brother Bob. No, you can't. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is rest. So that you can continue to work. One day we get to rest for all eternity. When's that? In heaven. What a day that'll be. Amen? When my Jesus I shall see. No more work there. Look at Revelations 14, 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may, what? Rest from their, and their works do follow them. Our works will follow us. And we must work the works of him that sent us while it is yet day, and the night cometh when no man can work. Our works will follow us to heaven. You know, Jesus Christ, he said in John, we read at the beginning, chapter 9, he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Look at John chapter 4. We'll see him spreading some of that light. You well know this story of the woman at the well. John chapter 4, verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And if you have ever led a soul to Christ, there's something filling about that that fills you up. Jesus just won a soul. And he said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto him, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish what? And let me just say, Christian, tonight, your meat is to do the will of him that now sends you, and to do his work. He says, Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all things ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. John 17:4, Jesus said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And look, we should finish the work which God has given us to do. And what is the work God specifically has given Victory Baptist Church to do? Preach the gospel. To who first? To the Jews first. To the lost. Where is our church located? Sealands Grove, Hummel's Wharf. So who should we be focused on telling the gospel to first? The people in New York City or the people in Sealands Grove, Pennsylvania? People in Sealands Grove, Pennsylvania. And the people in Hummel's Wharf, and the people in Shamokin Dam, and the people in New Berlin, and the people in Kratzeville, and the people in Sunbury, and the people in Norrie. Then after we tell those people, who should we tell? Shamokin and Lewisburg and Milton, and then New York City. We have a job to do. You know, what's encouraging is that, you know, just to point out something, is it the job of the churches in New York City to come here and witness? Where is it their job to witness? And they got their hands full, don't they? Where's our number one job to witness? Right here. God has given us a work to do. God has given us a work to do, and that is to preach the gospel and teach the gospel and spread the gospel to our Judea. our Jerusalem, and then our Judea, and then the othermost parts of the earth. Sure, we support missions too in the othermost parts of the earth, but if we don't reach Selah's Grove, who is going to reach Selah's Grove? If we don't reach Hummel's Wharf, who is going to reach Hummel's Wharf? If we don't reach Shamokin Dam, who's going to reach Shamokin Dam? If we don't reach Sunbury, who's going to reach Sunbury? God's given us a work to do. Would you agree with that?
Amen.
Amen. And let me just say, I as your pastor, I want to be the word is mindful. My wife read my mind. Mindful. I want to be mindful of your time and mindful of your time as a family. You know, one thing Jesus Christ said about the disciples that God had given him, what did he say about those men? The men that you gave me, Lord God, I've kept, I haven't lost any. Right? Didn't Jesus Christ say that? He didn't lose any that God the Father gave him. He didn't lose any except for the son of perdition, who wasn't, you know, there to begin with in his heart. But he didn't lose any of the 11. One thing we have to be careful about is while we're trying to win the rest of the world, that we ignore those who God has already given us here. We have to be careful not to ignore the young people here in this church and their needs. We have to be careful not to ignore the brothers and sisters in Christ in this church and their needs. You know, we have to maintain what God has given us and love the people God has given us while we're still trying to reach new people. Is that right? Okay. So let me just say, fathers and mothers, you need to be mindful that you're winning your kids to the Lord and discipling them to the Lord while you're still trying to reach out to new people. If you reach a bunch of new people but lose your kids, is that a good scenario? Okay. If you only reach your kids and don't reach any new people, don't reach out to any new people, is that a good scenario? No. Don't you think it's possible to reach your kids and new people? Yeah, I think it's possible. But let me say, as a pastor, how many men here work 50 hours a week or more? Raise your hand. Brother Spigmar, did you have your hand raised? 50 hours a week or more. Okay. How many of you are tired by the time weekend comes? Need our rest, don't we? Okay. One thing I want to be mindful of as your pastor is to allow you to have time of rest with your family. But the rest that I give to you isn't simply so that you can rest only, but that you have energy to get up and do the work. And while we're resting and taking care of our family, we also have the work of the ministry that is our responsibility here. You're the ambassadors for Jesus Christ here. You. You know, going soul winning and reaching souls in Selah's Grove is not just Pastor Rines' job. Raise your hand if you're saved. It's your job. And I know you do in your workplace, and I know you do at the gas pump, and I know you do at the restaurant. I don't think you have to come on Saturday visitation to be a soul winner. But I do think that going out two by two and having an organized soul winning time and doing a push is also a spiritual healthy thing, because we see Jesus sent out his disciples two by two. So let me just say one thing that we've done and that I've put into the calendar is one Saturday a month I put in nothing churchy. Nothing churchy. Nothing scheduled. No activities. Those who are bus captains and bus calling, just call the folks from home and say, are you coming tomorrow? You know? No visitation. No soul winning that day. Take a time to rest with your family. But the purpose of that is so that some of the other Saturdays, you can come out for the two-hour soul winning period from 10 to noon and go out and pass out tracts. I want to be mindful of the fact that you need rest, but you also need to be mindful of the fact that you should be working. What's your main job? Spread the gospel. Spread the gospel to your family, to your kids. Spread the gospel to the world. I mean, if there's one thing you want to impart to your children, I would think you would agree it would be the gospel. Amen. And if there's one thing we need to impart to this world and this community, it should be the gospel. So I just want to encourage you. Now, this Saturday is a nothing churchy Saturday. So if you show up this Saturday, God bless you. No one else will be here. But I just want to encourage you, and I know there's seasons of life. There's seasons of life when you have to balance what's best for your family in that time. Because again, you shouldn't lose your kids while trying to gain more disciples. Your children are the only disciples that don't have a choice of whether they follow you or not. They don't get to say, oh, let's see. You're going to be the one that disciples me. No. They're born to you. Like Brother Jeremy and Miss Sarah have wee little Mac. You know, Mac needs their attention right now. You know, Miss Sarah needs Brother Jeremy's attention right now with all the things going on in her life. And he needs to balance his family over the work of the ministry. And me and him have talked, and there's ways he's trying to go out in the workplace or around about town and witness. But maybe coming on Saturdays right now wouldn't be the best thing for his family. You need to do what's good for your family too, but we need to do the work of the ministry. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Miss Diane and Brother Mike, as soon as she has Emily, is not the time for them to be out on Saturday door-to-door soul winning. Right? But we need to have wisdom and know that when we have time and we can work for the work of the ministry, the work of the ministry needs to get done.
Yep.
And raise your hand if you're saved. Some of you are hesitating right now. You are the workers of the ministry. You are the workers of the ministry. You are the ambassadors for Christ. You are the one that is to beseech the world on behalf of the Father now. You are the light of the world. While you're in the world, you're the light. And we can't be hiding our light under a bushel. And we can't be hiding the light under the bushel if I'm too busy. Because that's our main work, is spreading the light. And if we've lost our salt, we've lost our salt. If we've lost our savor, the world's not going to get salted. Amen? How many of you are glad someone threw a little salt your way? How many are glad someone spread the light of the gospel to you? Amen? Let's continue to do that, church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll close tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. It's important to rest. It's also important to work. It has to be a balance. 1 Corinthians 3:6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. So Paul is the one that planted the seed of the word of God. Apollos came later and preached more on, and people got saved on top of Paul's work. And God's the one that gave the increase through both of these men's work. And it says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase when it comes to souls. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, same team. And every man shall receive of his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with who? So who are we laboring together with? And they say that's a sombering thought. You are a laborer together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And he is the cornerstone of our salvation. He is the rock upon which our salvation stands, and our spiritual building is built. Verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So God the Father, and John, the believed book of John is what tells us that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all indwell you when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You get the full package, the Trinity, inside of you. So tonight, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are inside of me as I'm preaching from the Word of God, which is Jesus Christ, to you who are saved, who also has God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit inside of you. And as you leave, you are His temple. Your body is His temple. He dwells inside of you. Everywhere you go, God goes. Everything you see, God sees. Everything you hear, God hears. Everything you do, God's there with you. Let me see, every time that you're weak, He's there to strengthen you. God is with you. And you are the ambassador. You are the light, and you have the light of the world, Jesus Christ, inside of you. And you're to go to the world with that light of Jesus inside of you and say, come unto the Father. Be reconciled to Him. He loves you. He died on the cross for you. He died to save you just like He saved me. That's our job. That's our job. Is to spread the light of God inside of us to the world. That's our main job. Let's push the reset button on the work of Christ. Let's push the reset button on soul winning and spreading the light at the workplace and make sure that we're not laughing at those jokes or cursing when angry or yelling at the boss, but being a good representation of Jesus Christ. To our children, to our wives, to our husbands. We're the light. We're the light. You know, no matter what problem you're facing, it's nothing compared to burning in hell forever. No matter what trial you're going through, it is nothing compared to one day in hell. And that is where the people who are lost outside these doors are headed. If the light isn't given to them, and how will they hear without a preacher? We got to go preach. We got to go teach. We got to go witness. We got to go tell. Jesus is coming back. And you've heard it before, and you're going to hear it again. He may come tonight. You know, we don't know. We don't know. We don't know. So let's think in our minds, if Jesus were to come today, is there someone I need to tell that I haven't told? If Jesus were to come today, is there someone in darkness, and when the Holy Spirit speaks to me, that I need to give them the light of the gospel, that I'll say, yes, Lord, I'll go and tell them. Let's have souls on our mind and keep them before us because they're on God's mind. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your great love to us and for sending Your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. And Lord, we need to understand and recognize that now we are Your ambassadors. Father, we're Your ambassadors. In Christ's stead, in His place to the world, we're put on those soul-winning shoes and we're to go out. We're the light of the world as long as we're in the world. Help us, Lord, to spread that light and to recognize our job. Lord, one day there'll be a day where we'll have perfect rest and we'll be able to rest from all of our work and our labor. Lord, we recognize that we need to rest sometimes for a while so that we can continue to work. Rest is spiritual. But Lord, help us to realize that we shouldn't be resting all the time. We need to be working too. This isn't our place of rest here on earth. We're waiting for that rest in heaven and rest in You. I pray You please give us the strength that we need. I pray You please lead us to folks whose hearts are tender and who desire to be saved and want to know more about You, Lord. Please lead us to those folks, Heavenly Father. Help us to be a good example and a good testimony and good ambassador for You. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.